Hi everyone, today's Parak of Rambam is the 22nd chapter of Hilchos Ishos. It is a rather long and complex Parak. We will do our very best. In this Parak, the Rambam discusses some key concepts, such as the husband's ability to inherit his wife, as well as particular types of items like Nechzei Zon Barzel and Nechzei Melug, items where the husband and the wife respectively have taken responsibility for them when the wife brings them into the marriage.
Halacha Aleph. Habal kodim l'chol adam b'rushas ishto. The husband takes precedence over any other person with regards to inheriting his wife. U'meimasai yizkei b'rushasa. At what stage does the husband acquire the rights to her inheritance? Once she has left the father's domain, but even though she hasn't yet reached the later stage of marriage of nisuin, once she has entered into her husband's domain, so he's the one who will inherit her. The Rambam will now clarify. If a woman was betrothed and then her father handed her over to her husband or to the messengers of her husband, or that the messenger of the father handed her over to the husband, or to his messengers, and then she passed away on the road prior to entering that higher stage of marriage, even though the dowry is still extant in her father's house, by Yorsha, her husband will be the one to inherit her. And similarly, if the father or the messenger of the father went along with the husband, and during the time when the husband and the wife were on the road, they entered into a courtyard, and he had seclusion with her for the purposes of reaching that higher stage of marriage, umesa, and then afterwards the wife died, harizei yurashena baila. In that case, well, the husband will inherit his wife. However, if the father is still with the husband in order to bring her to her husband's house, or similarly, if the messenger of the father went along with the messenger of the husband, or with the husband himself, even if the husband and the wife entered into a courtyard to sleep there for the night in the way that regular passerbys would in that hotel, since the father or his messengers are still with her, the shame is suen, and he also hasn't been secluded with her for the purposes of reaching that higher stage of marriage, in Mesa, if she passes away, then her father will inherit her, and this is even true if her dowry is already in her husband's house. Similarly, if the girl was already out of her father's domain, either because she had reached adulthood, or her father had passed away, or she had been widowed in the past, and therefore is no longer going back to her father's house in the same way, and then she went on her own from her father's house to her husband's house, but she didn't have with her either the husband or his messengers, and she died on the road, so then the husband does not inherit her. Halacha Dalet. Hanosei isha shehi asur lo. Ho b'yish lo ba kedushin. If somebody marries a woman who is forbidden to him, but if it's a circumstance where there still will be what we call tefisas kedushin, the betrothal takes effect, im meisa tachtav yirshana. If she dies while she's married to him, so then he will inherit her. V'chein anosei esek tana. Similarly, if somebody marries a minor, afal pish ein tushal kedushin gemurin, even though on a biblical level her kedushin is not actually binding, im meisa tachtav yirshana. So then if she dies while she's married to him, he will inherit her. Avali bikeach shenasa chereshes, im meisa lo yirshana. However, if somebody is a normal person who marries a woman who is a deaf mute, if she passes away, he does not inherit her. However, somebody who's a deaf mute who marries a regular woman and then she passes away, he does inherit her. Because she is somebody who is considered to have normal mental competency, and since she had chosen to marry him, she had given consent, and thereby she had given her the rights to her money, he will inherit her. Halacha hei. If a girl who's underage was betrothed with her father's consent, and she reached that higher stage of marriage than of nisuin without her father's consent, without his knowledge, whether it was in his presence or it was not, so then the father has the ability to protest, as we've already explained. Even if the father was silent, if this girl dies, the husband does not inherit her, unless the father has explicitly expressed his desire that she reach this higher stage of marriage. The Gaonim have ruled, the Rambam tells us, that a woman who's become sick, and she requests from her husband that he divorce her, and that she be set free, even without having to pay her her ksuba, in order so that he not be the one to inherit her, we don't listen to her. And even if she says, I hate him and I don't want to remain married to him, nonetheless, we still don't listen to her. And we don't count her as a wife who rebelled against her husband, v'din yafu zeh. The Rambam says he agrees with this ruling of the Gaonim. Halacha zayin. Kona chasam sheish lisha, bein nechzei tun barzel, bein nechzei melug, habal ochel kol beir zehem v'chayeha. V'im meisa v'chaya baila, yorish baila hako. Any land that the wife brings into the property, whether or not it is something which is defined as nechzei tun barzel, which is the responsibilities on the husband if it goes up or down, or whether it's nechzei melug, at which point the responsibilities on the wife if it goes up or down, the husband has the right to enjoy the produce of those fields during her lifetime, and if she dies during his lifetime, he will inherit all of it. Therefore, if a wife sells some of these nechzei melug property after she's been married, even though those properties had become hers prior to her being betrothed, nonetheless, the husband is able to remove the produce from those fields from those buyers as long as she's alive. However, he's not able to remove the actual land itself from those buyers because he has no claim on the actual nechzei melug themselves until the wife passes away. If she passes away during his lifetime, so then he's able to remove the actual fields away from the hands of the buyers even without having to pay them anything. However, if the money that the wife had received from those buyers are still extant in of themselves, so the husband has to give those back to the buyer. And the husband has no ability to claim that perhaps these were monies that she had found and therefore they should be his. No, he cannot make such a claim. When is that true? If these properties were known to the husband, however, if these properties had fallen to her possession in some faraway place, and the husband hadn't known about them, and then she had sold them, so then her sale is valid. It's still binding. Similarly, a betrothed woman who sold prior to reaching that second stage of marriage, her sale is a real sale. Because the husband has no claim whatsoever on the assets of his betrothed until he actually brings her to the higher stage of marriage of Nisuan. If a wife writes off all of her assets to somebody else, whether it's a relative, whether it's somebody else, prior to her getting married, even if she were to get divorced or to be widowed, so then that present would be absolved, it would be nullified, as the Rambam will explain it later in Mishnah Torah. Nonetheless, the husband does not have the claim on that produce. And if she dies during his lifetime, he also will not inherit these lands, since she had given them away prior to having reached that higher stage of marriage. And when she passes away during her husband's lifetime, so then the one who had received that gift from her will acquire that gift completely. Not only that, the Rambam tells us that furthermore, if she had only given away part of her assets, or all of them, prior to her marriage, and she had written to the one who was going to receive them, that you should acquire them from today, and at the point when I will that you should receive them. And therefore, in this case, he hasn't yet acquired them until she has willed that he receive them. So nonetheless, when she passes away, still, the husband has no ability to inherit her, and even during her lifetime, he has no ability to take the produce from that field. Halacha Yud. Shomeres Yavam, yesh la limkor b'litein b'matana, nechasam shenafu lach kishihi shomeres Yavam. A woman who's standing for lover in marriage has the capacity to sell or to give away as a gift any property which had fallen to her while she was in the state of waiting to do lover in marriage. And the brother who's standing to do lever in marriage has no claim on any of the produce from these fields, even fields that were defined as nechnitzon barzel, that she had brought into the marriage of his dead brother, until this brother who's standing to do lever in marriage decides to marry her. Mesa, kishehi shomeres yavam, if she passes away while she's in the state of waiting to do lever in marriage, yorsheh me'avihah yorshem nechnitzon melog shela, v'chatzi nechnitzon barzel, v'yorsheh ba'al yorshem k'subasa, v'chatzi nechnitzon barzel, v'yorsheh ba'al chavim b'kfurasa. So then the way we split her estate is that her own inheritors inherit the nechzei melug, as well as half of the tzon barzel. The yorshei habal, the inheritors of her deceased husband, will inherit her ksuba, as well as the other half of the nechzei tzon barzel. And those that inherited her husband will be responsible to bury her, because that is connected to inheriting her ksuba. Halacha Yud Aleph. Shomeres Yavam ksubasa al kol nechzei baila. A woman who is awaiting levirate marriage, her claim for her ksuba is relevant to the entirety of the estate of her dead husband. Therefore, the brother who is going to do levirate marriage has no ability to sell the estate of his brother, whether before he does the act of yibum or even after. Lo asa klum. And if he did sell from these estates, or he had given them away as a gift, or he divided them with his brother, whether it was before or after he had done the levirate marriage, he hasn't accomplished anything with the sale or gift or the like, because these assets were already obligated towards paying the wife's ksuba. If a man had done levirate marriage to his dead brother's wife, and his dead brother had left behind fields that had produce already growing that were still attached to the ground, so then what do you do with that produce? You sell them, and you purchase with those funds more land, and then the brother who had done levirate marriage has the capacity to eat the produce from that land. However, if the deceased had left behind fruits, produce that had been detached already from the ground, or even if he had left behind money or other movable objects, hakol shel yavam, all of that goes to the one who had done levirate marriage. And he can use them however he wills, and the wife has no ability to prevent it. Because these movable objects are only able to be collected for the ksuba on a gaonic level. And that mere responsibility from the gaonim has no capacity to withhold this brother who had done levirate marriage from using these movable objects so that he shouldn't do business with them. If the woman who was standing to do levirate marriage didn't have a ksuba, or she had waived her ksuba, so then the one who does do levirate marriage has acquired then the assets of his brother and is able to therefore sell them and give them according to his will. And when he ends up marrying this woman who's standing for levirate marriage, so then he should write her a ksuba of 100. And then all of his assets will be responsible to pay up her ksuba, just as is true by any other woman. If a wife sells or gives away after she's already been married these nechsei tzom barzel, whether she had done so to her husband or to somebody else, that was not a binding sale or gift. Similarly, if the husband tries to sell any of the property of his wives, whether it is from Nechsei Tzom Barzel or Nechsei Malog, so then he hasn't accomplished anything. If the husband sells movable objects which were defined as Nechsei Tzom Barzel, even though he's not allowed to do so, if he did do a sale like this, then the sale is binding. If the husband and the wife both agree that they want to sell some of the property of Nechsei Malog, whether or not the buyer had first bought it from the man and then the woman, or from the woman and then the man, in either case, that is a binding sale. Similarly, if a wife sold or had given as a gift from her nechsei malog to her husband, then that is going to be binding. With that sale, that gift counts. And she's not able to claim that I was just doing it in order to make him feel happy so that we should have peace in our marriage. However, with regards to other assets, she is able to make such a claim. If a wife had sold or given to her husband from Nechsei Tzom Barzel, whether it was land or movable objects or a particular field that he had designated would be the place where she would be able to collect her ksuba from, or a field that he had written to her for the sake of her ksuba, or a field that he had brought into the marriage as a present to her from his own, in that case, lo kana baila, the husband will not have acquired it. And even though they had made a formal act of acquisition from the wife with her consent, nonetheless, she's able to retract on it at any time that she wants. Because the only reason why she had given it or sold it was because she wanted there to be peace in the home. Therefore, the husband has no claim whatsoever, no proof against his wife with regards to her assets, other than with the nechsei malog, as was explained. The Rambam now tells us that it appears to him that if there were nechsei tzom barzel that were lost or that were stolen, and the wife waived that obligation to her husband, and they made a formal act of acquisition proving that she really was indeed waiving that with witnesses, So the Rambam says that she's not able to claim that she was merely doing it to create peace in the house. What is this comparable to? This is as if they had formalized that she would not be able to have any responsibility to claim from him in this case, as if she's turned them into Nechsei Maluk. Because the husband doesn't have to bring any proof to take anything. Not to hold on to this property. All he has to do is to remove himself from the claim that she's making to pay. And therefore, they acquire from her hand that she's waiving it, so then that's going to take effect. However, if she had given to him a gift of movable Tzon Barzel that are themselves extant, in that case, he has not acquired them. Because in that circumstance, she's able to claim, I was just doing it to increase the peace in the home. If the husband sells property in order to allow somebody else to have the right to the produce, so then he has not accomplished anything. Because the only reason why Chazal had instituted the husband has the right to take the produce from that field was in order so that way there should be more money available for the expenditures of the home. Therefore, if he does sell the right for the fruit and he uses that money in order to go and create additional business, so in that case, we do allow him to do so because then he is bringing in more money into the home. If the wife has money, if these are considered nechsei barzel and therefore the husband's responsibilities on them, so then he's able to use them for business. However, if the wife is the one who's responsible, whether or not the wife had brought them into the marriage, or she had received these monies in inheritance, or somebody had given it to her as a gift, or she had received movable objects in inheritance, or somebody had given those to her as a gift. So then those metalphalin are sold, or the money is used in order to go and buy the land, and then from that land, she will own the land, but the husband has the right to use the produce. As Rambam will explain later in Mishnah Torah, if a wife has been hit by somebody and therefore she's owed money, all the money which is fit to be given to her is used to purchase land, which she will own, but the husband has the right to use the produce. If a wife receives as inheritance servants, slaves, so even though they might be old, the husband has no right to sell them because they bring honor to her father's household. If she received as inheritance olives and grapes, and there was nothing actually in the ground itself that had any real value, if they are at least producing enough produce, so that way they will cover the costs that it takes to take care of them, so we don't sell them because, again, of the honor of her father's house. So then in that circumstance, they are sold for wood, and then, after that money has been received, they will go and use that money to buy land, and the husband will again have the rights to eat the produce. If a wife inherits fruits which are still connected to the ground, so then those belong to the husband. However, if they've been detached, so then they belong to her, and then they're sold again in order to purchase land, and the husband gets the produce from that land. However, if somebody divorces his wife and there was produce on her fields which were still connected to the ground at the time of the divorce, so then they belong to her. However, if at the time of the divorce they were already detached, then they belong to him. The servants brought into the marriage by the wife where she has responsibility upon them, and therefore they're nechsei malug, and same thing with animals that she brought into the marriage and are defined as nechsei malug, the husband is nonetheless obligated to sustain them, to provide them with all their needs, and at the same time, then the work that they do goes to the husband. He's the one that enjoys their produce. Therefore, if a maidservant, who's defined as nechsei malug, gives birth to that child is now owned by the husband. And similarly, if an animal gives birth, that child will belong to the husband. However, if the wife is divorced and then decides that she'd rather hand over money in order to receive the child of her maidservant because of the honor that it will bring to her father's house, so then we allow her to. If a wife brings to the marriage two vessels or two maidservants as defined as nechsei tzon barzel, and then the evaluate them at being 1,000 zuz. The hokru v'amdu ba'alpayim, and then they go up in price and are now 2,000. The gersha, and then the husband divorces her. No tells echad v'elef shala. She can take one of them for the 1,000 that she's owed. As for the second one, v'asheni im rasli shetin dama v'tito mishum shevach v'savia shumin la. If she desires to have that second one as well, by handing over money of her own in order to receive that second one, in order to bring honor to her father's household. So again, we listen to her. L'chav zayin. Hanosei matana l'ishto, bein shenasun l'karka, bein shenasun l'moz, l'chav ehen karka, ein l'bal peiros matana zu. If a husband gives his wife a gift, whether he gave her land or whether he gave her money and then she purchased land, in that circumstance, the husband has no claim to the produce of that gift. V'chein hanosei matana l'isha, almana shloya bal ochel peiroseha, eliyu peiroseha l'isha, l'ma shetirza, ein l'bal ochel peiros matana zu. Similarly, if somebody on the outside gives the wife a gift, on condition that the husband not gain the rights to the produce, and rather they should go to the wife to use for whatever she wants. So in that circumstance, the husband has no claims on that produce either. And similarly, if a wife sells away her ksuba for the right that if the husband were to divorce her or he were to die first, and therefore she would have the claims to collect the ksuba, this other individual will collect the ksuba. So the money that the wife receives for selling her ksuba in such a fashion, that is also something which the husband has no claims on the produce that will come out from that money. If an animal which was a child of Nesli Malog was stolen, and then the thief was discovered and therefore was obligated on a Torah level to pay double, in that case the excess 100% that was given is given over to the wife, not to the husband, because this is not considered produce which Chazal had enacted the husband receive. As Rambam will explain later in Mishnah Torah, if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, hits his wife, so then any of the damages or pain or the embarrassment that he's caused her, those payments all are owned by her. The husband has no right to any of the produce which will come out from those monies. If somebody sells land to his wife, if the money that the wife had used to purchase the land from the man was known money to the husband, so then indeed she has acquired it, and the husband then has the right to eat the produce from that field. However, if that money that she had used was something the husband didn't know about, then she does not acquire that land. Because the husband can claim, I didn't actually sell her for real. I was only doing it in order so that she should show me any money that she had hidden. And then those money that she had brought forth, the husband uses that to go and purchase land with. And then, though the land is owned by her, the husband has the right to eat that produce. If money or movable objects were found in the hands of the wife, she claims that it was given to her as a gift. He says, no, you brought them in through your own income, and therefore they belong to me. In that case, the wife is believed. However, the husband has the ability to say that a ban will be placed on anybody who claims something which is false. And then they use the money to purchase land which belongs to her, but the produce goes to the husband. However, if the wife claims not just that they were given to her, but rather they were given to her on condition that her husband have no claim to them, and that she can do whatever she wants with them, in that case, she's the one who has the burden of proof. Because any money found in the wife's hand is under the presumption that it belongs to the husband in the sense that he has the claim on its produce until she proves otherwise. If the wife claims you gave it to me as a gift, so then she takes a swear that he had given it to her, and then he has no right to the produce. We do not accept deposits from women, from slaves, or from minors. And if somebody transgressed and accepted one from a woman, so he should give it back to the woman. If she passes away, then you give it back to her husband. If you received it from a slave, so you should give it back to the slave. And if he passed away, so you should give it back to his master. If you accept it from a minor, from a child, you can allow both sefer Torah or whatever she ochel perusim. So in that case, you should buy him a sefer Torah or something else which he'll be able to benefit from in the long run. And all of these people, if they said upon their death that this deposit belongs to a certain individual, if there's the assumption that they would be the type of people that this individual who they claimed had deposited by them would indeed have deposited by them, so then we believe them and we give it back to him. If not, then it goes to their inheritors. If the wife has monies which are fit for the husband to benefit from its produce, if the husband says, we should use these monies to buy this type of land. And the wife says, no, we should use them to buy this. So in that case, lokim davar shepirosof merubin v'itzaso muwata. We therefore choose to buy something which will produce much produce and will not have high levels of expenditures. Bein shehaya davar kirtono o shehaya kirtona, whether it was in accordance with what he wanted or what she wanted. Bein lokim el davar shegizo machlif shema yochal ko benimza karen afet. However, we only purchase something which will renew itself. It will regenerate in a certain sense. Otherwise, there's a concern that he'll consume it entirely and then she'll be left with nothing. If a wife brings into the marriage something which she doesn't quite own, but she has the rights on some level, for example, if it's a goat for its milk, she owns the milk in that sense, or she has a sheep for the right to its wool, or she has a date palm tree for the right for its fruit. Even though all the wife has ownership in these items is on the right to its produce, the husband has the right to continue to consume from there, take all the produce, even until the point where the principal is lost. Similarly, if she brings in a usable object through the category of nechsei melog, so the husband is still nonetheless able to use them, wear them, spread them out, cover himself with them until they are totally destroyed. And when they get divorced, he's not obligated to pay for any of these things which have become worn out. Halacha Lamed Hey, the final halacha in this rather long parak. Horu ha-go'onim shenechsei tom barzel, afa pisha b'chisa son ala bal. The go'onim ruled that even though with regards to nechsei tom barzel, when they get lost, that responsibility is on the husband to repay them. Imay ha-blos kayamim, if the worn out objects are still extant, and they can still serve their purpose on some level, so then she takes back these same objects he had brought in as they are. However, if they are no longer able to serve the same function they'd always done, in that circumstance, now that they're no longer usable in the same fashion, so it's as if they had been stolen or lost, in which case he's liable to have to pay their value as was evaluated at the time of the marriage. The Rambam said that this is a very simple standard custom which is spread everywhere. And anybody who marries in accordance with this custom has accepted upon himself the responsibility of the dowry in this sense. In accordance with this minhag, the Rambam tells us similarly, just as he is not required to have to pay for any of the losses, similarly, if there's also gains, he has no right to claim those gains. Husband has the right to insist that some of the servants of his wife, any of her maid servants that are serving him, they also should serve some other wife that he had married, whether or not these were servants that were defined as Abdi Malog or whether they were Abdi Tom Barzel. However, he has no ability to bring them to some other city without his wife's consent. Have a wonderful day.